still at large. I'm Jay Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome in to this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to be talking about a very important subject today, something that certainly all of us need, something that certainly we cry out to God for on a regular basis. And I'm talking about the subject of wisdom. And I'm talking about specifically wisdom that is derived from the Scriptures, and even more specifically, wisdom that is derived from the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk today about a book called A Proverbs-Driven Life, and that's a book and a title that is given to that book by Anthony Salvaggio. He's the visiting professor of New Testament Studies at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. He was a practicing attorney before attending seminary, and that systematic profession of being an attorney and his experience translated nicely into delivering well-planned and thorough and informative teaching on New Testament scriptures and current studies and movements that are related to them as well. And you certainly can see his background and his systematic approach in this book that he has written. This book is very good. I highly recommend it. In fact, here's what I'm going to do for the radio broadcast today. A couple of things. One, if you participate in the broadcast in some way, either through email, Twitter, or by calling the 888 number, we'll go ahead and give you a copy of the book today. I've got a limited amount of copies to do that with. But also, the good folks at Shepherd Press, which is www.shepherdpress.com, have made the book available to you. The regular price is $13.95. They have made the book available to you for only $3 if you use the coupon code is what I meant to say. The coupon code KTT01. So if you use KTT01, you can get this book by Anthony Salvaggio, A Proverbs-Driven Life, Timeless Wisdom for Your World, for Your Words, Your Work, Your Wealth, and Relationships. You can get this for only $3 from shepherdpress.com. So with that, let me go ahead and invite Anthony into the program today. Anthony, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you today.
Anthony, I've got to ask you a question that you and I didn't talk about, so I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here too much. But I wanted to ask you this question. Obviously, the title of your book makes us think of another book that had a very similar title by a fairly well-known pastor in another area of the country. And what is the difference between a Proverbs-driven life and a purpose-driven life? I don't know if anybody's ever asked you that before, but if you would just contrast those two and what people would find in this book, that would be great.
Well, certainly I want to say that my book is not in any way a critique of Pastor Warren's book, mm-hmm. but I think the main difference is, I hope, the level of depth and focus, where I'm suggesting that God has given us in the Bible a book of wisdom to help us live a good life, a good in God's eyes, an organized life. I don't think it's necessarily inconsistent with what Pastor Warren, some of the things he says in his book, but I think I attempt to say that this is what God has given us to direct us in living that good life to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I might suggest that maybe it's the biblical expository focus of it.
Okay. I kind of sometimes with some of those felt need approaches, like maybe I guess I would put Rick Warren's book maybe in that category as a felt need. I look at felt needs as being a byproduct of the gospel and not necessarily something to lead with the gospel. The gospel will give you purpose. You know, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have all the purpose you ever want in this life and then some. And so I would just see, as you pointed out there in the contrast a little bit, that this zeroes directly in on what the scriptures have to say about how we should live our life. And your, I think your subtitle here says it very well, wisdom in our words, in our work, in our wealth, and I guess we weren't able to find another W for relationships. But you're a man after my own heart with the alliteration there. But and relationships. So that covers every aspect of our life, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about the book of Proverbs is how broad it is in its scope of addressing topics of our lives, aspects of our lives, spheres of our lives. And it does it in a comprehensive way. And some of the things I found, I was kind of surprised at some of the emphasis that I found in there. And it was a great joy.
Mm. I love the approach that you take on this book. And I definitely, during the broadcast, I want to delve down into that a little bit. Because I think that most people come to the book of Proverbs, and it's a book that they go and they yank a verse here and they yank a verse there. And that's just not the way that we should be treating this book. It's not doing it justice, for sure. And you bring that out in your book. But before I get to that, let me ask you the typical type of question an interviewer would ask an author would be, you know, what prompted you specifically to write this book on the book of Proverbs?
I guess I can answer that in one word, and that word is Google. I've been struck by the what I think is something a generational experience of watching the advent of the information age, and that I can type a word into Google and get tremendous amount of information, and it seems like our whole culture is saturated in information seeking, bits of data. But the struggle I think we're having is we're inundated by a flood of information, but it doesn't seem to be making us any more effective in using that information in a way that improves the lives of ourselves and others. And I think even within a church, we have more access to information, resources on sermon audio, all these other places to receive books and every single manner of format, and yet Christians don't seem to be using this information. It doesn't seem to make us better Christians, I should say. And so one of the things I wanted to struggle with is what's going on. Why is it that there's this disconnect between the amount of knowledge and actual better living for Christ? And I think the difference is, the disconnect is that we're lacking wisdom. Wisdom is the missing element. And that requires, wisdom requires more than just a Google list of information. It requires something, and the Christian life requires more than just mere information.
Mm. I was in my life before being a pastor, I was spent quite a bit of time in the information technology. In fact, I had a radio program along that line as well. I used to call it Tech Talk, and a weekly radio program where I would talk about technology issues. And in technology, I really made a living by being a liaison between the people that wrote the software and had all of the technical knowledge and the people in the company that actually needed the knowledge that was there. And I remember saying numerous times throughout that time that the good thing about the Internet is there's a lot of information. The bad thing about the Internet is there's a lot of information. And so unless you had somebody that could connect those dots and could understood how to speak the language in both of those worlds and could bring those two people together, the information really didn't do you a whole lot of good. And that's just a little analogy from my own life, I think, fits with what you were trying to do here with the book of Proverbs. Do you think that works very well at all?
Yeah, and I could give you an illustration from my own life. I'm not known for my handiness. You know, I've got a I've got a nice toolbox full of tools that are in pristine condition. but one day, you know, in my male hubris, I decided I was going to fix my my own sink. I was going to put in a new faucet, and I went to the hardware store. I bought my copy of you know Plumbing for Dummies, and I read the book. I knew all of the concepts. I had all the information I needed, and I put the faucet in, and I tightened everything up, and it leaked. And I tried it again, and it leaked. And eventually, I had to call a plumber, and the plumber came over, and within 15 minutes, and $120 later, he did it in very quickly. I mean, what he had that I didn't have was wisdom. I understood how to do it. I understood all the information. I had access to it, but something was missing, this element of putting that knowledge into action. Mm-hmm. And that's really what wisdom is about.
Now, that's an excellent illustration, because I think probably a lot of the guys in our listening audience are relating to you right now. At least you got off easy. You know, all that happened was the pipe leaked or the faucet leaked. You know, I've had time to do something like that and the lights don't all of a sudden work, you know. And it's like, how'd that happen? You know, but so I feel your pain for sure. We're gonna take a very quick commercial break. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you a little bit about this unique structure that you use in the book, in your book, A Proverbs Driven Life, in order to kind of catalog the proverbs that we find in the scriptures. And so I want to get to that when we come back from the break. Let me tell our listening audience, you can participate in the conversations, and there's rewards for doing so. You can do that by simply calling us at 1-888-660-WLFJ. Be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is Dr. Susan Stigall of Integrative Health Group. Did you know that allopathic medicine does not have a test to detect or measure inflammation? Yet inflammation plays a central role in diseases and hastens aging as well. So controlling inflammation is critical to your health. Whether it is mild or severe, proper nutrients provide safe and effective measures to help lower the flame and allow recovery. To find out more about this and other curable problems, join me each Tuesday at 12:30 for Healthy Alternatives.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Dale Taggett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Taggett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA-certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to go back to our conversation with author Anthony Silveggio in just a minute about his book, A Proverbs-Driven Life. But before we do, I've got to give you quite a bit of information, a little bit of some program notes, and then also some information about how you can get a copy of this book. Let me start with how you can get a copy of this book. Let's start right there. There's a number of ways you can participate in the program today. One, you can call. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. That's the easiest way. Two, you can send me an email. I've got my email up and running, and so you can email me at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll be happy to take your feedback to the program today through that means as well. And then finally, I've got Twitter up and running, and so you can go to www.twitter.com/knowingthetruth. And there you can send me a tweet with your comments or your questions today about our topic. In any of those ways that you participate, if you'd like a copy of the book we're talking about today, be happy to send you out one. It's called A Proverbs-Driven Life. It's absolutely fantastic. We're just getting into it, but it's a great resource to have on teaching yourself the book of Proverbs, how to organize it and catalog it in a meaningful way, how to really look at the book of Proverbs. It would be a great resource for homeschoolers as well, or just teaching your children in general. That would certainly be, I think, an excellent use of this book as well. So any of those ways that you participate in the program today, you can receive a free copy of the book. Now, that's up to a limited amount of copies that I have to give away today. Here's another way that you can take part in getting this book at low cost, no cost, and that is that the good folks there at shepherdpress.com, www.shepherdpress.com, the publisher of this book, they're making the book available for only $3 for the next 48 hours. So 48 hours from right now, from 1 o'clock, today, when the broadcast started, for 48 hours, you can get this book for only $3. I tell you, it's a great deal, plus shipping and handling, but you can get it for $3. And all you have to do in order to get it at that price is when you go out to their website and order it, there's a spot for you to put in a coupon code, put in the initials for the radio broadcast today, KTT01, and you'll get a copy of this book for only $3 plus shipping and handling. Let me just tell you real quickly about some upcoming broadcasts. I've got a number of broadcasts already lined up here. Dr. Stephen Meyer will be with me on Thursday. We'll be talking about his book, Signature in the Cell. And then Stephen Corbett will be with me. We'll be talking about When Helping Hurts. And then Ted and Margie Tripp, whose book is put out by the same author as the, I'm sorry, by the same publisher as the author today. They have come out 13 years after their blockbuster classic book on training children. They've come out with a sequel to it. It's called Instructing a Child's Heart. You know their first book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. They're going to be with me on Thursday the 30th, and we'll be talking about the release of their new book, Instructing a Child's Heart. So, a lot happening on the broadcast. You can find out all that information out at my website at www.knowingthetruth.org. Let's go back to our conversation now. Anthony, just before the break, I was mentioning that I wanted to talk about this unique approach in organizing the material found in the book of Proverbs that that you use to do this. Can you discuss that approach a little bit with us today?
Sure. As you mentioned, when you look at Proverbs, oftentimes people kind of cherry-pick, if you will, Proverbs out of the book of Proverbs. And what I tried to do was to look at the book and say, what were the major topics that are being dealt with here? And then organize the Proverbs under the topic. So I looked at the book of Proverbs and said, well, it talks about these major topics, wealth and how to deal with wealth, work, words, your use of your tongue, and then relationships are a major part. And that kind of breaks into three categories, friendships, our spousal marriage relationships, and then our relationship with our children. And so I attempted to categorize topically the Proverbs under those headings, and then to deal with them that way. And what that allows you to do is, instead of seeing them in different points as you go through the book, particularly as you, for preachers, if you're preaching through the book, you kind of come back to the same theme, but it gets disconnected from the whole. And so I tried to provide a unified vision of the Book of Proverbs by using that topical approach.
Mm-hmm. You know, Anthony, in starting off the broadcast, maybe one of the things that we should do is give a working definition of what a proverb is. I think, and maybe if there's any distinction then between a proverb in general and the proverbs that we find in the scriptures themselves.
Yeah, we're all somewhat familiar with proverbs, even people who would obviously be outside of the knowledge of God. I mean, we know the early bird gets the worm. We hear these sayings that are part of our culture as well. But one of the things I think when you think about a proverb is it has to have a shortness to it, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be easily digestible that way. It has to be something that's short. It has to be, I think, with some type of, I use the word pithy in the book, a catchy, some type of contrast or comparison or play on words that captures not only in your memory, but it's also vivid in the visual picture it's giving you. Also, something that has a universal appeal. A proverb has to speak to everyone. It's kind of like Jesus in his parables. He uses things that are part of daily life that everyone can access, not a PhD, but in physics, or anybody can grasp this. So it has this kind of earthy universality or popular nature to it. And then ultimately, I think it's something that is intended to instruct. It's a teaching and educational tool. So it's short, it's pithy, it's universal, and it's meant to teach. One commentator described a proverb as something that is known for its shortness, its sense, and its salt. So it's got to have a little bit of a tastiness, a bite to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, almost every biblical scholar you go to has a different definition of what a proverb is. So it's kind of hard to wrestle down. But that's what I did in the book, and kind of identifying those common qualities.
Well, I think you do a very good job there of describing what a proverb is. I like your description. I've read other ones as well, and I preached through the Book of Proverbs. I did it in a young people's class, actually, and we looked at the Book of Proverbs and went through it, and I did find that there's a lot more continuity in each chapter than what you originally think when you come to the Book of Proverbs. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. We've got Carlina from Greenville on line two. Carlina, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Yes, I'm in Greer, though. I'm in Greer.
Greer, that's okay.
I just love the Proverbs, and some of the sayings are really great. And do they, you know, sometimes is it can you take it for exactly what it is? Is it just some wording?
Well, that's a great point, and I think I know where you're going with this as to whether or not, are these precepts or are they promises, Anthony? Which would they, for instance, I know people would go to the proverb that would say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart. And so they would say, okay, well, I trained up my child in the way he should go, but they slipped away from the Lord. How do we explain that? Is it a promise? Or is it a precept that is given to us in the Book of Proverbs? How would you answer that, Anthony?
That's an outstanding question. I think it's one of the most important questions of hermeneutics, if you will, how you approach the Book of Proverbs. And I think one of the great, most frequent errors that is made is taking the Book of Proverbs and pulling out one proverb and treating it as if it's a formula that's guaranteed to produce a result instantaneously, as if it's some type of mere equation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a distinction between wisdom and law. You know, law is something that is a precept. God says, you know, do not commit adultery. It's true in every circumstance. There's not an exception to that. But when you come to wisdom, you have things that have nuance to them. Sometimes you're to answer a fool according to his folly. The next verse right afterwards says, you know, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And some people say, well, look, there's a contradiction. Well, that's not a contradiction. It's telling you that wisdom is something that is dictated by the context, the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that's the real challenge of living a Proverbs-driven life, is that you need to use your brain. I mean, God says, I've given you this wisdom, and I've given you the Spirit of God. I've given you my word, but I'm not going to do all your work for you. Wisdom involves making a decision based on Christian maturity to do the right thing in the right circumstance that produces the best results for you and for your neighbor and glorifies God. And so I would answer that by saying we need to be very careful in looking at Proverbs, not to treat them as precepts, but rather I would argue that they should be treated as promises that may not deliver their expected reward in the time fashion that you might want. You can, the rewards are often delayed, and they may be delayed all the way until the end of the age.
Mm-hmm. Well, good answer there, Anthony. Did that help, Carolina?
Yes, it did. Well, I, as you said, that one about training up a child, I really believe that has some value to it because it happened to me, and I always thought about that. Then I came back. I strayed away, but I came back because I had this knowledge in my head about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I strayed away, but I came back. But if I hadn't had it in me, I wouldn't have had, you know, I wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah, the Spirit of God uses that knowledge that our parents impart to us.
That's
and
right.
So praise the Lord. I'm glad that happened with you. And
Carolina,
thanks for calling today. And
All right. We're
going to make sure I've got your number here. If you don't have access to email, I'll call you and get your mailing address, and we'll send you out a copy of the book.
All right, then.
Thanks, Carolina.
Thank you.
Todd, you're up next, but we've got to go to a quick commercial break. As soon as we come back, I promise we'll get you right on. So if you'll just hold for about a minute or 2 minutes there, Scott, Todd, we'll be with you in just a minute. You're listening to Knowing the Truth, and we're talking about A Proverbs-Driven Life by Anthony Salvaggio. It deals with timeless wisdom for your words and in your work and in your wealth and in your relationships. Certainly, that is something that we need to hear today. That is instruction from the Word of God that is necessary for every single aspect of life. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Christian Worldview Today with Dr. Tony Bean.
I got in this discussion the other day with my son. We used to be a melting pot. When you came to America, there were characteristics that you embraced, there were things that you agreed with, and you could still refer to and revere the heritage of the country that you came from, but it was common knowledge that you were now becoming distinctly American.
Christian Worldview Today, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to go right to the phone lines as promised. Todd Spartanburg, you are up next, sir. Welcome into the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm not sure if it's Proverbs chapter 1, but it begins with saying that the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Mm.
I'm thinking of Saul, David, and Solomon. Saul failed the Lord terribly. David records his sins in the book of Psalms, his repent of heart. But I was wondering about Solomon. Does he ever give a written record of his sin or his rebellion against the Lord.
Anthony, do you want to comment on that one?
Regarding that, I didn't quite hear the end of the question. It was about Solomon.
Yeah, he wanted to know that although we see statements from both Saul and David, and Saul not repenting of his sins, David repenting of his sins, is there any sort of statement related to Solomon? Of course, Solomon went, had 100 wives, and they turned his heart away from the things of God. Is there ever any statement in your study have you come across where Solomon repents of what he had done against the Lord?
You know, I'm not aware of one. I know there's a debate, there certainly was historically, over what the ultimate destiny of Solomon was, you know, whether he was truly a elect of God. And I believe he was a saved man, and I don't know, I can't recall of any particular place where I know there's a repentance like there is with David. Mm. But I'd say it's one of the interesting points, the fact that you have, here is Solomon writing, you know, scholars will debate this a bit, but certainly writing a vast portion of the book of Proverbs, mm, and then other books of wisdom, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, but who himself violates that wisdom in his own life. And this is one of the paradoxes of Solomon, is, you know, he's this incredibly wise man, given great wisdom, prayed for wisdom, and God granted him wisdom and gave him wealth on top of it. But even though he had all of it, he didn't use it himself in his own life. He was, and he, just like the rest of us, he needed Christ and the one who was even wiser than Solomon. So, mm-hmm, one of the interesting points about Proverbs.
Hey, amen. I always say men at their best are men at best. And so even though he was chosen by the Lord for a great work and certainly accomplished much in his life, he was a man at the end of the day, and a man that obviously needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, anyways, you said it well. Just before the break, you had given a little bit of a working definition of wisdom. Would you repeat what you said there, as well as, or just to expound upon the idea of what is wisdom then? We asked what was proverb, what is a proverb? Well, what is wisdom?
It's a hard one to answer, but I come up with the best definition I've been able to come up with is that wisdom is the skillful application of knowledge in real life. It's using more than just information. It's using knowledge, connecting information together, but also applying that in actual real life. I think that's a biblical view of wisdom. Now, there's other forms of wisdom and philosophy and things like that, but I think the Bible is really talking about a get-your-hands-dirty, real-life, rubber-meets-the-road type of action of taking God's word, applying it well in our lives to glorify him and to love our neighbor. I think that's really what wisdom is.
Amen. I just wanted to say Todd had hung up there, but Todd, if you're still listening, if you send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, we'll send you out a copy of the book. I wanted to ask you, Anthony, before we lose all of our time here on the program, some specific questions about some of the areas that you write about. One that comes to my mind here right away is, what did you find that the book of Proverbs teaches us about work? And this is so important, I think, today because of what we see taking place in our culture here in America and, you know, the whole idea of, spreading the wealth, and some people that aren't working are going to get all the benefits of those that are working, those types of things. So speak to us for just a moment about what your study found that the Proverbs teach about the subject of work.
Well, when it comes to work, Proverbs addresses two different topics. It addresses the call for a work ethic, that is to work hard, and it also requires work ethics, that is to work honestly. And you know, the work ethic is one of the most colorful aspects of Proverbs. First you have the calling of going to the ant, which is, you know, here is the sage of Proverbs pointing out that here is the smallest creature you can imagine, an ant, and look how hard the ant labors and saves up its food and gathers it. And the point the sage is saying to his son there at this point, look, this animal knows well enough how to work hard and to prepare for the future and to provide for itself. That's how you are to live. And Proverbs is pretty strong about the idea of that, you know, lazy hands impoverish a person and diligent hands lead to wealth. Now, we always want to be careful because there are exceptions to that rule. You know, people can become disabled, things like that, that make it impossible for them to do that. But overall, in general, Proverbs says work hard, and the sluggard is beaten to the pulp by the book of Proverbs. There are some great ones. One particular proverb I love is, as a door turns on its hinges, mm-hmm. so a sluggard turns on his bed. And that imagery is like being like a door, just turning over in its bed, like a door on its hinges, never moving, never working, never trying to make a labor, to work hard. Another one is, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. And Proverbs says, if you want to live well, you need to work hard.
I believe it's in Proverbs 2 where it says that I went by the field of the sluggard, and he beholds the field there, and the wall is broken down, and the tower in the middle of it, which was a means of warning people against enemies coming or watching animals or whatever that would break into the field. It says all of this was all in thorns and nettles were grown all over it. And then he said, and then I saw this and I gained wisdom by seeing this. A little folding of the hands, a little closing of the eyes to sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon thee as an armed man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a vivid imagery of what takes place, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And that's what's so great about Proverbs, is it does give you that great visual imagery. Now, to balance it off, there are also Proverbs speaking to wealthy people who have worked hard and have done well, that they should be generous to the poor and to feed mm-hmm. the hungry. So there are some people who become impoverished, not because they're lazy, mm-hmm. but because of other circumstances in life. But overall, the call in Proverbs is, if you want to eat, just like Paul says in the New Testament, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's kind of really what Proverbs says.
Mm, exactly. You've talked about this already just a few moments ago, but it's more than just common sense wisdom that we're finding here. We're finding divine wisdom on some things as well, too. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I think that's one of the, you know, that I mentioned that wisdom is really a part of God's common grace. There are cultures that are godless that have a level of wisdom in their culture, because God, in His grace to make life better for His church and for the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ, has given wisdom to all people at a certain level. So that we don't have chaos mm-hmm. in our world, and so there's some order to it. But that kind of common sense wisdom will never bring you what the other caller mentioned, which is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the true beginning of divine wisdom, mm-hmm. The wisdom that actually, I mean, at chapter 30, there is a great passage about this man, Augur, who's trying to get access to wisdom and looking everywhere, and he's frustrated, he's tired, he can't find it, and then he recognizes it's in heaven, it's with God. And yet he can't get there. And what brings wisdom to us ultimately is the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to us as the man of wisdom. He gives us wisdom. And the only way to really have true wisdom is to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I wanted to ask you about the relationship between the book of Proverbs and the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, let's run back to the phone lines very quickly. We got Sam from Greer on the line. Sam, welcome into the program today.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful day outside, too.
Amen.
I just wanted to ask a question about, a few years ago, I had a verse in the Proverbs that I had underlined in my Bible, and I changed Bibles, and I cannot find it. I can't remember where it is, but it has something to do with wise man. If you do this, this, and this, it will make you fat, or something to that. And it, fat wasn't meaning, you know, physically, but with a lot of wisdom, you know, with exceeding wisdom.
Well, let's see if Anthony can pull that one out for you. Nothing's coming to my mind offhand.
And that may just have been a different translation
right.
that said it like that. I can't remember what my previous pastor was using the New American Standard I'm not sure if it was in there. I looked all over mine. I can't find it. But
Anthony, any idea which text he's referring to?
The only thing I could think of, I know that in Proverbs 11:25, at least in the King James Version, it says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." That's the only one I could think of.
Does that help?
I couldn't hear that very well.
What was the reference again, Anthony?
Proverbs 11:25.
Proverbs 11:25 might be the one that you were thinking about. Not positive, but at least uses that terminology in it.
Yeah.
A generous man basically will be fat, will be prosperous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that helps, Todd. Or Sam,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Sam, I hope that helps. And also, I want to get you a copy of this book. Do you have access to email?
I do.
You do. Send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and
okay.
We will mail you out, include your mailing address, and we'll mail you out a copy of the book.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for calling in.
All
okay,
right.
We're going to go ahead and take our final break for today, and then we'll be back in the final segment of the program, which means that you then will have about 10 minutes to call into the broadcast, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Or you can send me an email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Saturday afternoons at 5, it's the best of the Albert Mohler program on Christian Talk 660.
How do Christians relate to Islam? How do Christians relate to Muslims? I think it is not the Christian's responsibility to respect Islam. I can respect Muslims. I can respect the sincerity of their beliefs. I can respect their cultural achievements. I can respect their art and architecture. I can respect the way that they maintain their marriages. I can respect the way that they raise their children. I can respect the way that they would esteem the rule of law. I can respect many things about Muslims, but I cannot respect Islam. I cannot respect a belief system that I believe leads people to destruction rather than to eternal life.
The Albert Mohler Program, hosted every Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock with Dr. Albert Mohler. The show is devoted to engaging contemporary culture with the biblical truth. The Albert Mohler Program, Saturdays at 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Dale Taggett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Veen for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited, and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Taggett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese, and fully involved. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We've only got 10 minutes left or so, which means I still have a couple books that I'd love to put in your hands, because I think that this book is so helpful. The book of Proverbs, it's called A Proverbs-Driven Life. It's written by Anthony Silveggio. And I've got a couple copies left with me here in the studio that I can go ahead and get to you for absolutely free. And after this broadcast, if you're listening to the podcast of the program, or if you're listening to the audio file afterward, and you say, oh man, I missed out on my chance to get a copy of that free book. Well, I got good news for you, because the good folks there at shepherdpress.com are offering the book for 48 hours, and you'll have to do the math if you're listening to it in the audio file. We're airing this on the 21st here today, so 1 o'clock on July 21st. You'll have to do the math from there, but if you're within 48 hours, you'll be able to go out to their website at shepherdpress.com, find where the book is. It's easily found. There's a link to it right on the homepage, and then go through the process of buying it. It's normally $13.95. But you can get it during this 48-hour period for only $3 plus shipping and handling. You can't beat that. I would run out there if I was me. I would run out there and buy a couple copies of it at that price, because this would be a great gift to give to somebody as well, especially like a young person, a teenager, a young person in college. I think it would be great for that if you're past graduation time, but still would be something good for them to have as they go away to college after the summer's over. So just a lot of different uses for it, and that's the way I would take advantage of it. Let me give you the number here again. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, you can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll be happy to get you a copy of the book. Let's go back to our discussion now. Anthony, just before the break, I had said I was going to ask you about another segment of your book, but before I do that, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you're doing. I mentioned that you were a practicing attorney before entering seminary, but I understand you're the professor at New Testament Studies for Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Yeah, I'm actually a visiting or adjunct professor there, so I'm not a full-time faculty member, but I really have a heart for the institution, Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, RPTS, mm-hmm. we call it. It's a great place. It's been around it's celebrating its 200th anniversary next year. And if you know anything about the history of seminaries, there are very few that have maintained faithfulness over that extensive period of time. And this is a Bible-believing, a very sound theological, and it's a Reformed institution, but it reaches out broader than that group of folks. So, and great place for people who are thinking about the ministry, and because it's the faculty there are required to have pastoral experience. We have pastors studying under pastors, and it's a great setup. And they just started a biblical counseling institute, which emphasizes nouthetic counseling and gives that type of training. And Dr. Scipione is there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been a pretty exciting time. There's a DMIN program as well as a traditional MDiv and MTS degree. So I highly recommend it. It's www.rpts.edu if you want more information. And the folks there also are very personal and will work with students, and particularly students that may have some difficulties as far as how to access this type of education.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that. I know Dr. Scipione, I've had him on the program before. You mentioned nouthetic counseling, and had Elise Fitzpatrick was just on a couple weeks ago or so, and so always love to have Elise on. Dr. Adams has been on with me before, of course, the father of nouthetic counseling, if we could say that. And so anyways, just really appreciate the work. I was reading the tweets from Ligon Duncan just today, and he had mentioned that he had preached this past weekend at RPTS in Atlanta. And so, just sounds like a really good group. You also, I think, have Dr. Richard Gamble there, and he's been with me on the program before as well. So a lot of good connections. Frank Reich from the Charlotte office has been with me before as well. So anyways, a lot of good connections with RPTS, and just appreciate the great work that they're doing out there. www.rpts.edu. You can find out all the information. Before we go back to my question for you, we've got Linda on line 2 from Greenville. Linda, welcome into the program today.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the comment about wisdom that I see in my life and have seen that it's not that we don't have the wisdom. We have the wisdom of Solomon now because we have the whole scripture, plus we have the Holy Spirit. But I found in my life that it's knowing to do good and not doing it, so it's discretion. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, and I certainly don't equate God with a genie, but if we did have a genie and asked for one thing and just sat there with it, we would never be able to experience whatever that wonderful thing was. Mm-hmm. And so along with the wisdom has to come discretion, which we can ask for and receive, and then we'll know how to use that wisdom. But if we never use it, we never study God's word, or we never, then even if we know it and don't apply it through discretion, it doesn't profit us anything.
Well, Linda, I had Tim Challies on the radio program. He wrote a book about discernment.
And yes, that's the better word.
Yeah, that would be a better, I think, more biblical word.
That's a better word, yes.
Yeah, and he's got an excellent book, and he uses Proverbs quite a bit and talks about wisdom, but he talks about the discipline of discernment. His website, I don't know if you have access to the Internet or not.
No,
but,
I don't.
Okay. But any TimChallies.com, but anyways, his book is on the discipline of spiritual discernment. You might find that interesting as well.
And that's what it is, too. The discipline to do the right thing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Linda, for your comments. I really appreciate that. Let's go to the phone line again. We got on line three, we've got Don from Ware Shoals, South Carolina. Don, welcome into the program today.
Thank you, and God bless you. My question is, what year did Solomon write Proverbs, and his purpose? Was it just to let people know of his wisdom, that God was speaking to him? What was his purpose behind the writing?
That was in 1984, and it was against a New York Times article. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Amen, brother.
No, I'm just kidding. I'll let Anthony answer that question. Anthony?
Yeah, that's a debated topic as to the actual dating of it. Certainly I would be one who would advocate that it was dated around the time of Solomon, obviously during his lifetime, which, if my memory doesn't fail me, would put me somewhere between, let's see, the 700 and 1000 B.C. I think I've got that right. So you're going to catch me if I don't. Some of you will let me know if I made a mistake there. But
you're a better man than I.
And what was the name of the book again?
The name of this book, in fact, I'll send you a copy of it, Don. Do you have access to email?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just send me an email. My email address is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org, and I will send your mailing address, and I'll have one sent right to your house.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
All right, Don. Thanks for the phone call. Okay, well, our time is escaping us here, Anthony. We could talk about Proverbs all day, no problem. Any final thoughts before we have to close out the broadcast today? Anything that you specifically want to share about the message of Proverbs or about your book specifically that we didn't get a chance to cover today?
Just two quick things. One, I would encourage your readers to, as James instructs us, to ask God for wisdom. Mm. He's faithful to give that to us. And also make certain that they're looking to the one who is wisdom. Jesus, in him, is hidden all wisdom and knowledge. And I think that's the most important thing. Proverbs points us to Jesus.
Amen. Quoting, of course, there from Colossians, I think, chapter 2. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is the Lord Jesus Christ for sure. I've been preaching through the book of James. And so when we were talking about Proverbs today, I guess that James would be a real good comparison book, or companion book, I should say, for the New Testament. Would you agree?
I would, and I actually wrote a book on James. It's called The 24/7 Christian, which I very much like you talk about. I was led to write that book because of the connections, you know, I saw with James and Proverbs.
Excellent. I didn't know about that. I'm going to have to check into that and get you back on the broadcast to talk about it, because what a great book. I mean, the book of James is another one that, unfortunately, we treat it by going there and grabbing a verse and running with it. But what an excellent, excellent book. We've been enjoying our study there at the church, and just closing out the fourth chapter, be going into the fifth chapter in a week or so. So praise the Lord. Anthony, thank you very much for being with us on the program today, and thank you for writing this book. May the Lord bless it, and may people all across the country buy a copy of this book and read it, because it's certainly worthy of doing that.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Okay. I mentioned before on the broadcast, www.shepherdpress.com. If you go out there for the next 48 hours, now 47 hours, I think, go out there. You can get a copy of this book for only $3 plus shipping and handling. That's www.shepherdpress.com. Our website is www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. Join me on Thursday's broadcast when I'll be speaking with Dr. Meyer about his book, Dr. Stephen Meyer, his book, Signature in the Cell. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in to Knowing the Truth. Coming up here at 2 o'clock is Janet Parker.